very shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good tidings we bring for you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a happy new year. It's a season for music. It's a season for music. It's a season for music and a time of good cheer. Good tidings we bring for you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a happy new year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy new year. Good tidings to you. Wherever you are, good tidings at Christmas and a happy new year.
Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding and bring it right here.
Good tidings.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is the last day of the year. Tomorrow's going to be New Year's Day. And we're starting everything over. Today is the 31st of December. Today is Wednesday. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Neri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today we have a treat. Today we have a treat because I have a friend of mine who I'm going to be interviewing. And he is here visiting from the United States. He's one of those global people, right? When I say global, he is covered it. He is respected globally and one of the leading behemoths in the United States, one of those Fortune 400 or 500 companies, those big fours, I think that's what they call it, right? So I'm actually privileged to have him in studio. And we're going to be talking about a journey to become an expat. This is our second in the series of expats, behemoth expats living abroad, doing tremendous things, big things, global things. In studio, we actually have his wife. She is also doing big things in the United States. And she says she's going to be kind of quiet here, but I'm going to try to bring her into the conversation. I'm not even going to call her name until she's ready to talk. But I do have his wife in studio, who's also an expat doing big things in the medical field. I can say that there in the United States. We are in studio. We have Mr. Bronson Pilgrim. Right, I'm going to let him do a narrative because I cannot explain exactly what he does in his company. But before you get to what you do in the United States, right, I want to establish a history of your bohemianhood, if I could say that, your bohemianship. Give me a narrative of who you is, as we say in the Bahamas. And then we'll move on to how you got into the United States and then how you got employed to one of the biggest firms in the United States. So we'll get to that narrative, but I'll let you start.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, first of all, Cecil, that is an amazing intro. Boy, I got to replay that a number of times and let my children hear that so they can appreciate me like you do. before we get into anything else, you know, Cecil, I just want to say thank you, my brother, for having me. I think it's important to let the listeners know that Cecil is one of my closest friends, someone who's been there for me from the very beginning. We spend plenty of time together. We best buddies at St. Augustine's College. This man taught me even how to play chess. That I think you got a beating from me by
yes.
the 12th grade, right?
You still have the reigning champion.
I am the reigning champion. Yes. Thank you so much for your teaching. And yeah, just hanging out through Taylor Street, you being in and out of my house, us doing law internships, many adventures. I appreciate you. I'd say from the class of 94, we're very proud of you. I don't know how often you get to hear that, But you've done well, and I congratulate you on your show. All right. Okay, let's talk about me a little bit here. So again, as Cecil mentioned, name is Bronson Pilgrim. I am a Bahamian, first and always. Professionally, I am a partner and principal at Deloitte in the United States. At my very core, in terms of my core skill set, I'm a software engineer. I have an undergraduate from Florida A&M University. I studied a number of years, attaining my degree there. And then I went off to grad school with my wife at the University of Missouri, and I have a master's in business. I'd say, to summarize, I'd spend probably the better part of 20-something years where I've leveraged all of those skills to summarize it as I help companies solve complex IT and business challenges, right? And that those companies range from Fortune 50, Fortune 500, all the way to U.S. agencies in the federal government of the United States. Like I said, I've been doing that for a long time. The problems range, but I don't do them by myself. I lead large teams. Like you said, we have a global footprint in some cases to do it, and I've been having fun ever since. But I'd like to say that everything that I've done, I think, to be honest with you, Cecil, it really started here, right? All those core skill sets and that initial groundwork, that was all here when I started working before I actually went to school. So
you mentioned SAC. You didn't mention you went to the College of the Bahamas, which you studied there. Yes. And then you I knew you were from banking. And then you matriculated to United States. Mm-hmm. And I just want to establish, let the listening audience know that you're a true, true Bahamian.
Yeah,
you grew up here.
I grew up here.
You grew up here.
I grew up here. So I would say I grew up what I'd call out east, right? Now it's east, north. You know, they call it tech, the east crew. So I grew up out there, right here in Nassau, Bahamas, to my parents, Berkeley Pilgrim and L.C. Popel Pilgrim. It's my parents. So my upbringing is really across two areas, out east and not too far from me in Chippenham.
In Chippenham.
Yeah. You know me from Chippenham.
You have an established Chippenham family.
Yeah.
Your Grammy used to bake the best cakes in the Bahamas.
Best cakes. And I think my
aunt, a shout out to your Grammy.
Yeah, my you know, rest in peace, Louise Popel. She was a consummate baker extraordinaire, stalwart in the community, and so is my grandfather Leroy, who was a carpenter. Initially started off as a seaman, but he retired as a carpenter, and they lived a very long and prosperous life here in Chippenham. Raised 7 kids right there in the area, and I grew up there, got some beatings there, and he learned hard work, dedication, prayer, and belief, right, between there and out east.
Yes. Then you got married. I mean, I attended your wedding.
Yep.
And you and your beautiful wife just went to the United States. I want to get that journey now and going off to school. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to find out how you became an expat. But just start off right from there. You got married to your beautiful wife and introduced your wife and stuff like that. And we continue the journey.
I would say I actually met my wife through working at an offshore bank here, through a sister. And we dated for a long time, about 5.5 years, and we got married. And to be honest, if it wasn't for her coaxing me that there's so much more out there, I don't know if I would even be here today. Simply because, and again, we'll get into that maybe later, but a lot of my entry into the States was through the kindness of many, many, many folks, especially the bank that I started. They gave me a full scholarship, but my wife helped me to see that was possible and help facilitate that. Fast forward to getting through that first degree, she and I got married in the summer of 2003. And I'll be honest with you, I was intent on coming back home and starting my journey here, but she got an opportunity to pursue a PhD in biochemistry from a number of very prestigious schools. She was actually selected to do it. They actually paid her to go to school. And we decided to get married, just took a chance, got married that summer, and I ended up following out of school.
So now let's talk about school, because this is still a journey on becoming an expat. Mm-hmm. You're in school with your wife, right? Mm-hmm. You're studying full time, mm-hmm. right? Like I said, your wife is in the medical field, so she's busy mm-hmm. all the time, mm-hmm. right? Tell me a little bit about the college life, and then how you decided to get a first job in the United States.
Yeah, so I would say that it was a little rough because we took a little bit of a leap of faith, right? I didn't have a means to actually pay for graduate school when we went there. Mm. I got there in my first semester through the gifts that were given to my wife and I when we got married. And after that first semester, I mean, between she and I, we plotted to figure out how could I get what she got, which was a graduate assistantship. Mm-hmm. So as God had it, I was able to secure that before the end of my first semester. And essentially, here it comes again. I got a second win, free ride through graduate school. Mm-hmm. So, but I wasn't doing. She's smarter than me.
I know she's a brilliant woman.
Yeah, she's smarter than me. So I wasn't doing anything as hard as what she was doing. I just did a master's in business, and halfway through her PhD journey, I got recruited by the firm that I'm at as an intern.
Okay.
And you know, when you're in school, because you're on F1 visas and such, it's typical you can get a summer internship to work for a few months. And in many ways, that's almost like a job, you know, kind of a test, right? A debut. They want to see, you know, what you bring to the table and whatnot. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to secure a full-time job before I was done with the summer internship, because I was only in college for 2 years to get my master's. And so I got an offer before I left to come back and spent an entire year in school. They already had a job for me by the time that I was done, while she was still working. I mean, while she was still working on her degree.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So you had a summer intern. Mm-hmm. And before the summer intern even over, mm-hmm. they offered you a full-time position.
Mm-hmm, they did.
And your full-time position would have been what exactly?
My full-time position was just an entry-level consultant. So, and I would say this, right? The reason why I got that position was because I had worked in Nassau prior to going off to school and starting my undergrad. Mm-hmm. I had worked at Mies Pearson, an offshore bank here. I'd actually worked at Cosrite in a warehouse and then ultimately started messing with computers. You know, as you know, I went to COB, but I studied history.
Yes.
But to my mother's chagrin, I changed my major at the very end to do computers because that's what I liked. I left COB, went to start work at this offshore bank. And the skill sets that I picked up there, just working in the IT department, learning a lot from some of my mentors, Kim Foster, two of my best friends to this day, Kari Davies and Enrique Pyfrom. And those same skill sets were actually what got me the graduate assistantship for me to get a free ride through grad school. And then it allowed me to excel above all of my peers by the time that when I did the internship. I was already ahead of everybody that was in the internship class, right? So it was some building blocks in there, right? As well as luck, faith, and other things, right? Hard work that allowed me to position myself to get to that point.
You are in a competitive field, the mm-hmm. best and the brightest around the world mm-hmm. you tend to work with. And especially in terms of your first internship there, you were competing with some of the brightest minds in the United States, and in particular, the company you were in. Mm-hmm. And you're telling a narrative where you were ahead of them, mm-hmm. basically from the groundwork that you had in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So I you worked as an associate, I think that's what you said.
As a consultant. As an entry-level consultant position.
Yeah. This company happens to have a number of other Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving you an opportunity to give a shout out because I didn't know so many Bahamians were involved in this company.
Yeah.
Right? Especially it being such a prestigious company.
Yeah.
So there are more than one Bahamian that showing their self as being competent and global.
Yeah.
Right? If you want, you can give names of who you happen to work with. I know we didn't ask permission with that.
All good. I mean, you know, we always joke when we get together, you put a Bahamian anywhere, right? Like this, that hard work ethic of just being an island, you put a Bahamian anywhere, they can just, man, we just can figure that out. We can just figure that out, right? And so when I got there, I didn't know initially, right? When I had started, I actually reached out to the Bahamian partners here, Mark Munnings and Lennox Lewis, to say, hey, what's going on, right? But then when I started to work my way through, because again, like 20 years is a long journey, I ran into some, I mean, they're not just Bahamian partners, they are exceptional partners in this firm. Like,
will they interject and ask, what is a partner? So like, so people can appreciate that. Forgive me.
Yeah. A partner is, you know, and it's similar to a law partnership, right? A partner is someone that has some degree of equity in that firm, right? So they're almost like an owner, right? So it's not publicly owned or owned on the stock market. It's a privately held partnership. And a partner is someone who has stake, right? Okay. Stocks in the firm, and they get to participate in the growth and the financial performance of that company.
Okay, I just wanted to understand it.
Yeah.
So you reached out to the partners who are here in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And then you found, what else you found?
Yeah, man. So there's a partner there. His name is Avery Munnings. We call him the Godfather, right? So he's someone who actually got a scholarship through, I want to say it was Junior Achievement, because he told me the story that I think like Franklin Wilson and others, he got a scholarship to work at the firm, kind of like me, at an entry-level position. And he stayed. Now, this was some years ago, and he's still there. He's considered one of the preeminent partners in the entire firm, right, within the audit practice. So there's him. We look up to him. There's others there, right? There's Shanique Gray. She just made it through. Reese Blair, who he actually went to QC, and I always remind him that, look, you might have been the QC, but in terms of who running the show here, SAC has, I'd say, an unquestionable contingency of partners actually in the U.S., right?
They have a number of SAC graduates who are partners in the U.S.?
Right. It's who was there when we was there. That's how we, you know.
You want to call another name, though?
Tamano Sherlin.
I know Tamano Sherlin is a year ahead of me.
Let's see. Talia Smith was there. Jamiko Seifert was there.
Okay.
Man, we got some folks. And then again, what we've established, too, is when you have Bahamians that are coming in to the company, a lot of them have actually showed initiative and have started just reaching out on their own. And we start threads and, you know, kind of mentorship within the company. So there's a number of Bahamian junior staff level folks that we engage with to pay that forward as well. So, yeah, man, we're doing some great things. But again, no surprise. But yeah, I gotta remind people that, you know, SAC, we still doing our thing.
We represent. Just making sure. Yeah. I see your wife smiling at me.
Yeah. She went to Kingsway.
Oh God.
Yeah. She went to Kingsway. I know.
Yeah.
They still working on the pool, I think.
They still working on the pool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Rick Fox to donate that.
I can say
lobbying
that. I ain't gonna say nothing to that.
But continue. I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Catching strays.
Yeah. You got your very strays. But yeah, man, that you know, like I said, that, you know, Cecil, that's where we excel in doing some things.
Okay. I wanted to know and appreciate the role that you do. You mentioned that you do consultancy work and that you have a number of companies that you do consultancy work for, right? And I'm thinking that this is all based in the United States, or this is a global consultancy that you do work for?
Yeah, some of the firms I've been fortunate to have consulted for are global firms, some are multinationals, and I've been fortunate to lead, I'd say, multidisciplinary global teams to solve certain challenges. Right, there's nothing that I'm doing by myself, but there's a lot of coordination, management, you know, drive to get things done. Some of the companies are companies that many of you know. Like, I've been at the Walmarts and the Targets and the Tycos, Monsantos, you know, a number of those firms that you know, Sony, over many of the years, to provide a number of different set of services. Now, I typically stay in the tech space, so most of my work has hovered around broad, what we call enterprise architecture, IT. I do a ton of cybersecurity. You know, in this day and age, if you're going to get specific, my bread and butter has been around a discipline called identity and access management, because, you know, there's a lot of security challenges in the world. And, you know, my wife is sitting here. One of the challenges that I've been recently fortunate to implement is she does research, and there are scientists that are all around the world. And I've had to lead and build systems to help facilitate secure access, timely access to sensitive data, scientific data to facilitate global research. That's just one of the things. It's probably more recent, but it's things like that I'm typically involved in doing.
Every year, you come back home to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Every year. I mean, like clockwork. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you missed a year.
It's COVID.
Maybe COVID during one or 2 years. But every year, you bring your entire family.
Yeah.
Your children, your wife, whatever it is. Why is it so important to come back home?
Yeah.
Because you could go anywhere. You have now the money to fly all over the place.
Yeah.
But you decide, no, we come in home.
Yeah. I love to be home. I love to be home. I was just here last month. I ran there was a half marathon here. Shout out to Siobhan for putting that on. It was a great, great run. And some of the other folks that I ran. But yeah, I come home. I try to come home every Christmas on time. My birthday's around this time, so that's an easy time for me to celebrate with family. But, you know, I feel like part of it is, you know, if you're truly a son or daughter of the soil, right, and you're an expat, you do have a sense of duty and wanting to give back, especially as to come back and connect with the folks that have invested in you, right? Because there is a sense of, I owe these people, right, who helped me, and I want to pay that forward to help someone else, right? Part of it is stewardship, and then also, you know, in many ways, the folks that have paved the way have created ladders for me. The goal is now for me to make sure that the ladder is there, and I let that down for others in some way, shape, or form to be able to come up to that. So that's a huge thing for me. Giving back, I think, is one aspect of it. I mean, I could get to, you know, the personal aspect of it, which is I love my food. You know, like, look, you could find me at Drifters, for sure at the Fry. You know, I sometimes go fishing with my cousin over by Yamacross shoreline. I never miss a junk canoe.
You live a Bahamian life.
Yeah, I live a Bahamian life. I never miss a junk canoe. You could talk to Kendra today as a diehard Saxon, mm-hmm. right? I definitely was at Boxing Day, and I could be very loud, whether I'm on the bleachers mm-hmm. or if I rush in, right?
There's a community of spectators that you commune with every junk canoe. The same set of people are on the same bleachers that you meet up all the time.
100%.
And you're taking pictures like crazy.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And I get the opportunity to also, like, I've had two of my partner colleagues that came down this season, right? Mm-hmm. So I was with one yesterday out fish fry. We'll be out on New Year's to show them a little taste of what junk canoe is all about. And I've had some folks that visited globally from India that came out there. They sat in the stands with us and got to experience it. So yeah, man, that's junk canoe is a huge part of us. I love the expression. You know, obviously you and I, we've been in plenty history class together.
Yes.
And know, you know, the extensive history of how important it is to have that freedom of expression by former slaves within that space. The music is sweet. I mean, why not, right? It's the best thing going.
What does Bahamian excellence mean to you?
Bahamian excellence, boy.
I mean, you're just a trailblazer. People know your name now, right? Mm. They have you as one of the premier persons in your field, right? Globally and nationally here. So you have a bit of a claim. But now that you have that and you have counterparts that equal you, right? Mm. Is Bahamian excellence important? Is something that you can see? There's something that you are seeing as you continue to work in the United States?
I do, to be honest with you. I see it all the time, right? I see it across fields, right? I mean, you see in Bahamian excellence, like you know this. My wife, she knows I watch a lot of basketball. I'm a huge VJ Edgecombe fan. You see in excellence. We have a lot to contribute to the world. Like I mentioned, like when we get together as partners, we look at each other, we smile, we laugh. We know the hard work it takes. To me, I think Bahamian accents is when you have been, you're born and raised here, there's some disciplines that you get. Again, we can joke and have friendly rivalries about school and Jonkanu group and church and this and that. But all in all, there is a common thread of hard work and focus and a tremendous drive to just want to succeed. I think that Bahamian excellence is something no matter what you aspire, attain to achieve, that's just a natural aspect of the output of what comes out. With enough focus, attention to detail, that's just inherent in who we are and what we do.
You know that I had a little small stint of living in United States, mm-hmm. but I came back home because I was terrified of that American living. Mm-hmm. And you stayed and continued a life. What type of message, what type of advice you would give to young people who are contemplating immigrating to the United States, mm-hmm. attending school mm-hmm. in the United States, planning to stay in the United States to take advantage of opportunities, who are a little bit timid, right? Not sure if they are prepared, but would need advice in general. What type of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say definitely embrace it if you have the opportunity. I think, first off, anytime you have an opportunity to get any type of experience that's going to ultimately enrich you and benefit you, I would certainly encourage anyone to embrace that. The other half of it is being able to really find your why. For me, my why for working within my field, staying in the United States, like I mentioned, my wife, who I would not have had any of this happen if it wasn't for her and her pursuits. I mean, I'm getting the byproducts of a lot of decisions that she's made, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. And so I stayed to ensure that she got her degree, mm-hmm. right? And that was an additional 2.5 years after I had already started working. And then life starts, right? Because the type of the aspiration that she has, and even as I mentioned the example before of some of the work that I've done within the research space in connecting researchers across the globe, right, in federal systems in the U.S., she was looking to expand her experience to do that. And as she continued to look and spread her wings, then I actually saw more opportunity in doing that. So in the end, you kind of find your why, which is you're doing some things as a unit. To be honest with you, Every day while I was there was almost a new discovery of just what the realm of possibility is going to be. But at the time you start, you don't really have clarity of what could happen. Hmm. You just almost got to take some blind faith, and it just ultimately just works its way.
So you'll encourage Bahamians to take more blind faith? That leap of faith to say, but I don't know.
Yeah. Right?
You went off the course with no money. That don't make no sense to me.
Only God, bro. That's God all the way through and through, right? You take blind faith and look, you know, we know what a hustle, man. You know, we complain about how hard the sun is, or we grow up in the sun. We grow up working hard, right? Chipping on, we grow up, you know, you gotta, you know, pump water. Some people I had to walk goats when we was young. There's some things that a lot of Bahamians, they're not afraid of hard work. And that is a superpower that we have. We could extend and work harder, just as hard or harder than anyone else out there. And if and you know, to all the spoils you'd receive, right? If you're gonna outwork someone. And so that's why I think that the other part that's missing is the opportunity part, right? And taking that step to make things happen, I think you'd be surprised on how far you can go. Because I could tell you, when we first started, none of this was, you know, we could even fathom that this would happen.
About 3 years ago, you and your wife were recognized as like, who is who who's who amongst Bahamians living in the United States. I think the ambassador, the ambassador plenipotentiary, Wendell Jones, mm-hmm. invited a number of Bahamians who were doing big things mm-hmm. in the United States. And they called both your wife and your name mm-hmm. and recognized both of you and said, mm-hmm. these people are trailblazers. Mm-hmm. They're not regular Bahamians, but they're doing big and awesome things within the United States. They're making a difference. How is that recognition? Because you was watch. I wasn't sure if you was in Washington at the time, or yeah. you, or wherever we were, or Missouri.
Yeah,
you used to just be moving all the place, right?
Yeah.
How is that recognition, especially when they reach out to you and say, "Mr. Pilgrim, we want to recognize you and your wife. Can you come this way?"
Yeah.
How is that?
Yeah, I think we were very honored, right? I mean, they were persistent.
And that means they called more than once.
Yeah, and
because you're all private people.
Yeah, and you know. We got to come as a duo, mm-hmm. right? So that was important. And so, I appreciated the acknowledgement. I think at that time, we both started kind of just began the process of taking a step back and taking a breather and looking back at, look at all this stuff that we did, right? Because I think that was at that time, that's maybe just 15 years of working. We have two children already, you know, at the time. And we were just getting this opportunity to just share what we had learned. I think on that show, like Aisha Bo was on there. That's when she was also starting to be recognized. And you see she's since been in space since then.
Yeah, man.
It was truly an honor to be a part of that inaugural group that he recognized for the work that we both did. I was exceptionally proud of the perspectives that Anna shared on the research, the background, the work that she's doing, especially around advancing women's research, which there's a lot of disparities around that. And she's helping to influence policy both nationally and looking to do something internationally with that. And just getting the word out that there's more to us than, you know, some of the basics, some of the things. I know there are Bahamians here, obviously, that's doing great work in tourism. I saw Vaughn Roberts the other day. Congrats to him. But there are more aspects to what we as a country of Bahamians can do in terms of what we can do out there and show the world what we're capable of, as well as what we ultimately can bring back here and implement.
How important is that, showing the world that Bahamians can do great things?
Incredibly important. Right. That's why when you see someone on an international stage, we have to congratulate them. We have to appreciate them, because I remind people all the time, I go back to my basketball analogies. I like to let them know we are a country of 350,000, 400,000 people, and we are competing and are present in spaces in a country of 400 million people.
Mm.
And you can find Bahamians in notable areas across each of those industries, right? You and I were talking about Lars the other day.
Yes, Lars Mint, who went to SAC with us.
Who went to SAC with us, who is running HR over at Mercedes, right? So, you know, if you look, you'll find us, right? And I have, and again, it's not, I know there are names of folks that I've run into that I can't name them all, but across many industries. I mean, in New York, in Chicago, in Philly, we out here doing some things. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that, because for a kid or someone that's growing up on an island, especially this one, 21 miles by 7 miles, you want to be able to see an example of someone that can rise above what their current circumstances are. Like you say, leap of faith. I mean, I have no money to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just God's engineering, and having the courage to ask a question and put yourself out there. And the world is your oyster, and opportunities are endless when you look at it like that.
You're making some maneuvers now to invest in the Bahamas. You see there's a need, said my life, I'm coming back home to retire. I want to orchestrate some things, so when I come here, I have a spot, you know, mm-hmm. still working on that. There are a number of Bahamians who claim that the Bahamas is not a real place. Nothing here works. This country isn't moving, right? This is no place to come back to. Mm-hmm. This is not a place to be. You try to escape. You escape. You come out. You escape the matrix. Mm-hmm. But you try to come back home. You always come back home. You and your wife sit here and say, "Man, I hear and I live in." You want to come back mm-hmm. home, whatever time that would be. Mm-hmm. How come you see things differently in contrast to these people said, "Man, this place ain't a real place. Nothing works."
Yeah. I think I don't know. I'm an optimist, right? An eternal optimist. By nature. I mean, there are some things that I'm not an optimist on, but, you know, for the most part, I'm an eternal optimist. And I don't know, I aspire, just I aspire for myself as a Bahamian to want more and have been given a lot of grace and, you know, there's a lot of prayers and a lot of support from people that I know and I don't know, that helped to facilitate me, of someone who just has these dreams, my wife who just has these dreams, and to then have the audacity to have those dreams realized, you can now see what the possibilities are for both of us, not just one, but for both of us what the possibilities are. So imagine if you took that same framework, that same belief system, and you instill that at a country level, then what possibilities would there be if we are more of us are thinking that way than not, right? Because it's easy to think about life and what's going on around you when you just are looking in the short-term view. But when you're encouraged to dream and you can start to not only dream, but you could see examples of if everyone is thinking that way, what are the realms of possibilities for us in the Bahamas, right? We grew up, I mean, you and I have had many of these debates, right in Ms. Burgess' class in mm-hmm. history, mm-hmm. where we talk about how, and these debates are still going on today, right? How do we get these other industries going, right? Tourism is the number one industry. How do we get, you know, banking used to be there, right? All the financial services. How do we get the middle class, you know, up and all these various things? There's no simple answer to any of those questions. But in my experience, what's brought success professionally for us and me and my teams and the firm that I work with is scale and diversity. It's not that one person is going to come up with the answer. If you're all thinking as a team, then many of you together can come up with the answers. There's innovation. Many of you that are exposed to other aspects that's going on around the world can now start to solve problems in different ways that ultimately brings net new opportunity for us as a country. But again, it starts off with a mindset. It starts off with hope and belief, and then it starts off with a will to want more and better for you than the Bahamas, right? You can easily kill that mindset by saying what you said in terms of the Bahamas isn't a real place and not having any hope. But where there's hope, there's opportunity. And you bring that, I'm an optimist. You bring that spirit to bear and you watch and see what happens.
That's where we can take a break right here. Hope, right? And mindset, changing the mindset and coming together as a team to address issues. That's what we need to be doing now inside the Bahamas to have us move to the next level. Right now, we're talking with Bronson A. Pilgrim. When I come back, I need to ask what A means. Because I keep on, all of my life, you've been hiding this middle name. You just say, man, I just bap Bronson A. Pilgrim. On the next side,
I can beat you up.
Yeah, we're going to save your middle name on the next side. We're talking to Bronson Pilgrim. His wife is in the studio and she's listening, right? And holding her husband's hand at the same time, right? When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Mr. Pilgrim is an expat living in the United States. He's doing big and awesome things, right? And we're just going through his journey of migrating, immigrating to the United States and thriving, and not just thriving, being successful there, being recognized as one of the top-notch consultants and his company that he works at. Anyway, it's Guardian Radio AM. We'll be back shortly right after this break. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. On a break, I was talking to Brunton Pilgrim's wife, Anna Pilgrim, right? And I said, I got to bring you into the conversation. I know you're here for support. And I said, no, I got to ask you one or two questions. For the record, you're a PhD. But what did you have a PhD in, Ms. Pilgrim?
So I earned my PhD in biochemistry from the University of Missouri, Columbia, Mizzou. many moons ago. I think Brunson had a really good representation of our journey there to there and here. I grew up in the South, South Beach, Bamboo Town. Mm-hmm. If anyone knows where Porky's is, that's right around the corner for me. I went to the best high school in the Bahamas.
Got this show off.
She went to SAC? I didn't know you were SAC.
No, I went to Kingsway.
Okay.
And yes, we're still waiting on our pool.
Yeah, still. I'm still getting Rick Fox to donate that.
He was fundraising for that pool, too.
Oh, and God.
We still don't have it.
So. Yeah, go ahead.
But then, you know, I guess Bronson and I both went to COB, now UB. And then worked together. I think that's when we really met. Fell in love, dated for quite a while, and then decided to get married. And 2 weeks later, I started my PhD. And it was a lot of work. It was difficult. We were broke. Mm-hmm. We were on a new plane of broke. and I think something that he didn't mention was we were without community. And I think that's something that we really... took for granted being in the Bahamas is that we always have someone to turn to for anything, right? There's always someone willing to help. But when you're over there, it's just me and him looking at each other like, I don't know, you know? And so that was difficult. But I think that, you know, we put our heads down and we made it work, mm-hmm. right?
You continue to come home, at least push your husband, meet her in home, right? and you from a respectable family. When I say respectable family, everybody knows your father. I mean, everybody knows your mother too. But your father is like a stalwart in the Bahamas where when you call his name, people say, okay, I understand where she comes from. I understand her strength of pushing forward and dedicating to the Bahamas. And I give you opportunity now to mention who your father is. And of course, give a shout out to your mother too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so people can understand why you were so committed to the Bahamas still.
Yeah, you know, so my father was Tom Roberts. He was the pastor at East Street Gospel Chapel for many years before his passing about a year and a half ago. And my mother, Lisa Roberts, who was by his side the entire time and a stalwart in the church. Well, So I have to say my journey to the mindset of coming back was not, it started out as many, oh, this is not a real place, let's, you know, let's escape. But my father always required that we come home for Christmas. It was not a choice. We had to. And so we did, right? And as the children came along, of course, they tagged along. And it was frustrating coming home and, you know, load sharing, electricity load sharing, or the water pressure is really low. And I can't use the ATM, you know. So those were real frustrations that I think living in the United States, you come back here and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, we got this, right? But with time, I have realized that the community here is so much richer than I have over there. There's a different set of respects, a different set of understanding of people, a different way of maneuvering through the world, which I feel like is a better part of the human experience. What we experience in the United States is a constant work attitude. And coming home, work has its proper place, right? For some people, maybe not, but for most, you know, we're going to work hard, but we're also going to play hard too. And that type of balance is really difficult to achieve over there. And I really enjoy it here. And I also see the Bahamas doing better, you know.
So there's hope for the Bahamas?
I think so. And I think that, you know, we have experienced a brain drain, right? But we still have so many capable people here, and we have people who we want to come back, right? Because they bring new ideas. They have seen different ways to do the same thing. And I am excited about the opportunity that can bring to the Bahamas to work in a team with the people who are here on the ground who know, you know, the lay of the land and how things are going, but other people have seen other ways of doing things and can come in and work together and say, you know, based on what I know the Bahamas and what you know the Bahamas, how do we make this work better? I have water pressure now.
Improving the South?
Okay.
Okay, good.
I mean, it's getting there, but I have water pressure now, right? I have better, more reliable electricity, right? I think that's par for the course, right? We're still working through the health system, right? We're still working through the education system. But I think we're on the road to better things.
Yeah.
And as we keep plugging away as Bahamians, we'll attract those people back.
I have a quick caller who wants to engage you both, right? So let me have the producer patch that before we go. Caller, you're live. We're talking to Anna and Bronson Pilgrim. They're living an expat life in the United States. Oh, no, caller, hang up. Caller, I tried to include you before we go. We have a few more minutes. So if you have that quick call, the dial back, that'll allow you to engage with... Oh, see, the call back now. Let's see if we can get them now, Kermit. Go ahead, caller, you're live.
Hey, good show, good show. How you doing?
Doing well.
Wait a minute. Tell your guest, right? Low pressure and electricity cutting off does now become cultural.
Oh, God. I understand what you said. Go ahead.
I lie?
No, I understand what you're saying. But it improved over the years. That's what Ms. Pilgrim said. It improved over the years.
Ask her if she remembers when the water used to be yellow.
I do. I 100% do.
Call it brackish water.
Yeah. And I live in the South, and so we used to get a lot of that stuff.
How the water is now, Ms. Pilgrim?
You could drink from the tap.
There you go. Look at God. The government is doing some things.
But we've put in place desalination plants now.
Yes.
So we have a better quality of water. We're not reliant as much on, you know, the boats from Andrews bringing fresh water, and we get to purify that now and drink it. It's cheaper. It's easier to maintain. People get better water pressure. We are getting there. It's taking long, but we are
moving.
Getting
it's
there.
No longer marking time. We are moving.
Exactly.
Let's go to this next caller here. Go ahead, caller. We're about to leave, but we're trying to get all of you in. Go ahead.
Good morning, CA. My nephew too, and my dear nephew and niece, Anna and Bronson.
I know that voice. I know that
voice. Daddy Jackie. Mm-hmm. My Daddy Jackie battling right now. It's a little cold. But God is good. And thank you, CA, for having Ann and Bronson on. I think they're a great testimony of the goodness of God and his faithfulness. And
Amen.
The fact that they've remained humbled.
Amen.
And they have a spirit of gratitude. You know, we have to be careful about that entitlement spirit. And, you know, I continue to pray for them that continue to do well. And they have kept their children even grounded like that, too. And I'm so proud of them, and we celebrate them. And I think the entire Bahamas celebrates them. We give kudos to their parents and their grandparents and the entire village. Continue to do well. They represent who Bahamian should be about. They are truly mocking the manner of their bearing. Even as far in the U.S. and over the world, we can do great things. Continue to keep it up. God bless. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you very much, Aunt Jackie. We're about to leave. I want you to give advice to the entire Bahamas, both of you, actually. So you both have about 2 minutes each to, what you say to the Bahamas, man? Being expats, living abroad, watching the Bahamas change over the years, coming back home regularly, and you need to say something to the Bahamians who are here and say, man, sir, you all win. You all living abroad win. What do you say to them?
Would you like to start?
Start off.
You know, as Bronson had mentioned before, I have seen Bahamians come from this very small country and, like, be very successful in other countries around the world and other businesses around the world. We have a secret sauce. We have a secret sauce that helps us to succeed in tough places and do really, really great things. And I'm really, really proud of what we have accomplished as a society outside of the Bahamas. What I would like to see is us accomplish those same things in the Bahamas, right? I really have a desire to see both the educational system and the healthcare system get stronger, right? And get more reliable, right? And that's my personal work, right? Mm-hmm. So that means a lot to me. But we don't have to just be great outside of this place, right? We could be great in this place in different ways, in more ways than we are now, because
mm-hmm.
we are great now, but in even more ways. I think my advice would be just keep pushing.
Yeah, bloom where you're planted.
Bloom where you're planted and fight for the change you want to see. Fight for it.
Okay.
Right?
I have a text here that says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning and love to Bronson and Anna from Gaudy Carolyn. I just want to read that in before I go. Let me see if I have one more before I let Bronson.
Love you, Gaudy. Love you, Annie.
Okay.
That's my, I have a number of additional mothers on top of my own mother.
Yeah.
Carolyn.
What the lady is, we went all the way out west too.
Oh, that's Helen Bethel.
Let's make a short show. Send a show to her.
Yeah, that's Dame Helen Bethel and Sir Baltram. They remind every time Anne and I would go away. She's my godmother.
I would change your question and say, give some shout-outs to some people before you go.
Oh, man. I got to give them a shout-out because, one, they always expected me to and Anna to do great things. I remember I told them the other day, Baltram Bethel, every time I left his house, he just told me, do not stop. Just finish it. That's it. He said that every single time. That just stuck with me.
Some more shout out.
Yeah. First of all, I got to shout out my mom, who is our core, Elsie, and my sisters, Brinishka, Brindia, my brother, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
I got to shout out my sister. She and my nephew, Noah. We recently got involved in a charity drive as a family where he helped to coordinate the donation of about 2,500 pairs of socks.
I donated some socks to that.
You donated.
Yeah,
a lot of folks donated. So, and I thank everybody for your contributions. But they were able to facilitate that, and I'm just so proud of what they were able to do. I think, the beneficiaries were many of the homes that were here, and it gave us an opportunity to get exposure to some of the needs socially here. Ranfley Home, Elizabeth Estates, Children's Emergency Hostel, they went to some of the neighborhoods around Chippingham and Bainetown, Nazareth Home, Bilney Lane. Shout out to them. They did an amazing job, and I felt like that was for Christmas and an opportunity for us to give, and that I think starts that spirit of what we can do to give back. Other shout outs. I got a shout out my wife and my two kids, Katie and Dries.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're awake, right? I hope they're awake. And I got to shout out my in-law family, all of the Roberts sisters, my family, my brother Tim, and that crew. You know, we had a great time this Christmas. And yeah, my Carolyn, like I said, I got out some other mothers. Carolyn Seymour, Helen Turnquest, Evie Roll. Those are people that have just kind of stayed with us kind of throughout the way. So let me give you some time to give some shout outs.
Oh, I think you covered so much.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Mr. Bronson Pilgrim. And of course, Mrs. Anna Pilgrim, Roberts Pilgrim, right? Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you. I'm the last show for the day, by the way. So we'll see you in the new year. Have a wonderful day. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.